Welcome to the show. Happy Monday. News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. Pete Callender here. The phone numbers are 704-570-1110, 1-800-WBT-1110. Thanks so much for letting me be a part of your day. I appreciate it. Did you catch the offensive and cruel comments made by a North Carolina politician? Did you catch those over the weekend? Yeah, Mo Davis in the news again. I totally didn't expect Mo to be. Oh, what? Oh, you haven't heard about Mo Davis? Oh, that's weird. Now, to be fair, Mo isn't an elected official, so nobody has to care that he's, you know, once again on social media and just making really detestable types of comments. I mean, he was the guy that the Democrats put up to beat Madison Cawthorn, or so they thought, and then he ended up getting waxed by like 12 points, and that would be considered a landslide in electoral politics. Madison Cawthorn, the 11th Congressional District Representative from the mountains. And yeah, so Mo Davis went after Cawthorn again. Well, I mean, it's a day that ends in Y. And so Mo Davis, after being beaten so handily by the completely inexperienced candidate, he has basically spent the last, almost a year just constantly attacking Cawthorn. And I mean, no sour grapes here, no sore loser going on, I'm sure. But I'll get to that. I have that. Oh, also, no, I was talking also about, yes, Mark Robinson, the lieutenant governor, Mark Robinson's video. Now, I've actually done something that it appears most of the people who have written stories about the video have not done, and what appears to be virtually every single person commenting on the video hasn't done, which is to actually watch the video. I watched the entire 20-plus minute speech that Mark Robinson did at this church in June. In June. That's when this happened. Back in June, he gave a speech at a church. It was a Baptist church. And Right Wing Watch, leftist organization, right? You kind of get an idea just by their name of what they do. And they got a hold of this video, and which is not difficult to get a hold of. It's on YouTube. And they pull the soundbite. They throw it out there. Media picks it up, runs. Democrats, obviously, you know, pounce. Although it's never described. It's interesting. Democrats are not pouncing on these comments. They're not seizing on the comments either. It's so weird. I wonder why. They just react. They're just reacting to that sort of thing. They don't pounce or seize on some comments in order to take advantage of stuff like that. So we're going to get into that. I have other clips of audio, because the other clips of audio that come from the speech actually help us understand what it was that Mark Robinson was talking about. Also, I do see a lot of similarities in the way the comments from former Lieutenant Governor Dan Forrest were taken and used against him as well. He spoke at a church. Remember a couple years ago, he spoke in front of a church and he made a point that multiculturalism and the celebration of everyone's differences has a destructive side to it. But because he didn't say it like I just did, Democrats and media, but I repeat myself, pounced. They seized on these comments. Because he said something off the top of my head, I don't recall. It was something to the effect of no nation has ever survived, long term by promoting diversity. It was something to that effect. And of course, this is pure bigotry. When of course it's not. Because in order to unify a diverse people, you've got to have some common understanding of something, right? Fill in the blank with whatever that is, but there has to be some sort of unified theory that everyone is organized around. Otherwise, what's the point of being an American? Like, seriously, what's the point of any nation state? Is it to provide security? And that's it. Well, maybe then that's the unified principle, but I don't know if that's really a unified principle any longer, right? Is it to provide security? Because I hear some people saying that the state, the government, should not be doing that either, particularly at a local level. We need to, you know, start stripping away all of the funding for the security apparatus that exists at the local level. So I'm not so sure that's a unified principle. So what is the unified principle? Is it freedom? Is it freedom? I don't know. Maybe go ask some of those pilots from Southwest Airlines. Yeah. Interestingly, also, just a bit of a sidebar here on that whole story, where if you're not aware, there were all of these delays and flight cancellations, like 2,000 of them yesterday. It's apparently continuing into today because you got a bunch of pilots that are refusing to work because of the vaccine mandate. And you've got some, you know, lies, basically, that are being spun about what's actually going on. I think they were blaming the weather yesterday. But this is about the mandates. So are those folks free? Are these pilots free to not get the vaccine? Right? So is that a unifying principle? Is that what we're all about in America? What are the unifying principles? And don't tell me democracy. Don't you dare tell me democracy, because as the piece at thefederalist.com points out today, that when people say that it's about the democracy, what they really mean is it's about the Democrats. When people use that term, saving democracy, protecting democracy, it's all about the democracy. No, what they're talking about is the Democratic Party. And there are examples galore on this. I've gone over some of them. The most recent one is how Justin Trudeau's ruling Liberal Party got more seats didn't get as many seats in their House of Commons. The Conservative Party got more votes, but fewer seats than the Trudeau's party. But no word about democracy failing in Canada. News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. You can email Pete at thepetecallinershow.com. Also at Pete Callinor on the Twitter machine. 704-570-1110 and 1-800-WBT-1110. Before I get to Mark Robinson's audio clips, I've got to make mention of this. I made Nextdoor.com. I'm on Nextdoor. Apparently somebody posted onto Nextdoor the podcast from last week where I was literally reading the articles about Natasha Marcus, the state senator here in Charlotte, who was doing a fundraiser or whatever, and then it had to be canceled because, or she canceled it, and she said it was because of the death threats, the potential threats from the Proud Boys. And then it turned out that two candidates had already pulled out of the event because of her invitation, that she sent an invitation out that had some inflammatory language, shall we say. I've not seen the invitation, by the way, and she refuses to post it. Like, she apparently, this erupted on Nextdoor after somebody posted, it's a fella named Nils. He posted a link to my podcast on Nextdoor, and this then prompted anger and fury, and it even smoked out Senator Marcus, who said, "I know you love to stir the pot, but Nextdoor is not the place for political attacks on your neighbors," which is weird because I did think that's what Nextdoor was. I have not spent any time on Nextdoor. I don't have an account, nothing. But that is what I thought it was about. She says, "This right-wing radio guy doesn't know what he's talking about and gets a lot of the facts wrong during his 20-minute-long speculative diatribe. I won't fill up this site with a full discussion." That's the classic. Oh, that's the, you know, "This isn't even worth my time as I pour out, you know, 300 words onto this post. Let me explain why I will not even be commenting on it." This is, by the way, one of the things that often comes up when you read an article. I've had this occur many times over the course of my career, which is, you get an article in the paper, you get an article from a TV station, you read the article, you raise some questions that the article presents, things that are left unclear, comments that are made in the article, and all of a sudden you're like, well, you don't know what you're talking about. You need to do some journalism. It's like, okay, first off, just a talk show host. I say it often enough, not a journalist. Not a journalist. I used to be one, but I'm not any longer. And some of that training does inform how I approach the gig now, but not a journalist, just a talk show host, first of all. Second of all, the questions I'm asking, if you're saying that these are left open by me for simply asking, well, that's actually a criticism of the piece from which I'm reading, right? Because I don't have any other information besides what I'm reading. It's the article. And so when I read the article, if you're like, that's factually incorrect, okay, well, then that's the article's fault because I'm reading from the article. I cannot verify that this is true or not. This is what they're reporting. I'm saying this is their report. It's one of the reasons why I always give the call letters, the publication. I try to cite the reporter as well. So you know this is their work product, not mine. So if you're upset that the facts were wrong, I'm trying to remember what articles I was reading from last week on this topic. I guess it may have been was it the Charlotte Observer? I believe it was. Maybe the AP? Yeah, the Charlotte Observer did the story. And then they had to correct it because originally they ran with her line, right? They originally ran with her narrative, which was that she canceled due to fear of the Proud Boys. And then the Observer apparently found out and had to update their story that, oh, actually two of the other candidates, both Democrats too, by the way, they had to, that they bailed from the fundraiser. And they said it was because they didn't depreciate the invitation she sent out with the nasty language that was directed at Republicans, apparently, because they're running in a nonpartisan town board race. And that was the story. And I just read the story from the Observer. And I pointed out that the quote that was listed in the paper from this Proud Boy guy did not seem to be terribly threatening. And I can tell you, as one who has worked in this line of work for as long as I have, I can tell you I've seen my share of, you know, insinuated threats over 20 plus years. And no, I didn't see a threat in that. I wouldn't say the guy said, oh, it was a joke. Not a joke, but definitely wanting to convey this idea that like, oh yeah, well, we'll show up at your event. I'm like, oh my God, he's going to attack people physically. Why would you automatically assume he's going to go and attack people physically? And the Proud Boys with their history of right-wing violence, and as I mentioned on the program, and maybe this is what she's angry about, is that I said the Proud Boys, they're a response to Antifa. They don't show up at different places just like engaging in violence. They go to fight it out with Antifa LARPers. So, yeah, whatever. I mean, unless I'm missing something, are these Proud Boys, you know, roaming the streets right now, beating people's skulls in? All over the place, just, I haven't seen it. Newstalk 1110, 99.3 WBT. Pete Callender here. Here's the write-up over at the local public radio station. Full disclosure, I mailed people coffee mugs from an office there for about a year. I was an intern, and then I was membership assistant. There we go. I was a membership assistant. And I did the daily deposits, and I mailed people their coffee mugs. So, yes, liberals from 20 years ago in Charlotte, you probably got something mailed to you from me. Just a heads up. This is a piece by Steve Harrison, formerly of The Observer, now at WFAE. He says, North Carolina Republican Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson said Saturday he would not apologize for comments that he made this summer in which he referred to homosexuality and transgenderism as filth. Well, we're going to get into what exactly Mark Robinson said, and you can make your own determination as to what exactly he was discussing when you hear the context of the comments. Robinson said that in June at Asbury Baptist Church in Randolph County, but a video of his speech was recently posted online. White House Press Secretary Andrew Bates weighed in on this. Where is this one here? Yeah. The White House weighed in on this. Always in search of a good distraction is the White House. Quote, these words are repugnant and offensive. The role of a leader is to bring people together and stand up for the dignity and rights of everyone except the unvaccinated, not to spread hate and undermine their own office. Attorney General Josh Stein said, there's no place for hate in North Carolina. Every single person in our state deserves respect, not only because it's right, but because it's necessary to build the kind of future we want for North Carolina. By the way, all of this is sort of the performative, obligatory response, right? Democrats need to come out and say these things because their base requires it, as would the Republican base, right? The difference is you got a lot more pressure exerted via the media on Democrats here. Like, I would note, U.S. Senate candidate Jeff Jackson, you know, raced out. He's a state senator right now. He's running for U.S. Senate. He's a Democrat from Charlotte. He's like racing out there to demand that Robinson resign. I think I heard Mick Mulvaney this morning talking with Bo Thompson. And he's like, that's just, you know, he's not going to resign. And these calls, that's an old fashioned mindset, right? You're running for U.S. Senate and people have dubbed you Cal Jr. Right? Cal Jr. I'm not saying I dub him that. I'm saying others have dubbed him that. And what was the deal with Cal Cunningham? Like, Cal Jr., why are you called Cal Jr. for Cal Sr., which is Cal Cunningham? And what was it about Cal? Yeah. Multiple affairs. Wouldn't get out of the race. Yeah. So, like, you're telling me that now you're demanding accountability. Your own guy. And I guarantee you that Jeff Jackson voted for Cal Cunningham in the voting booth. Or maybe, did he leave it blank? He just couldn't bring himself to vote for Cal Cunningham? No, of course not. These folks who are demanding Mark Robinson resign, they were totally fine with Cal Cunningham winning if he had done so, right? Roy Cooper talked about it as well. But I also noticed that Erica Smith, state senator, former state senator, I think Erica Smith, she's also running for U.S. Senate. She hasn't really been beating the drum, though, on the Robinson story. I think there's probably some distance. I'm just spitballing here, but I think there's some distance. There's a bit of a gap, maybe, inside the Democratic Party base, the coalition of the various groups, demographically speaking. And I think maybe progressive white liberals, I think they may be a little bit more keyed in on this issue. Might be a little bit more sensitive to these things than other components of the Democratic base. So maybe that's why State Senator Erica Smith isn't really beating up Lieutenant Governor Robinson so badly. She did put out a statement saying this is not us, that kind of thing. Everybody has to do it. But Jeff Jackson really in front of the parade on this. Let me see here. I have his comments. I've got a bunch of the reactions. Oh, and by the way, yes, the reading the comments after. Oh, golden. All right. So first, here is Leader Robert Reeves. He's the House Democratic leader. And he said, quote, "We live in the greatest state of the greatest country in the world. Our leaders set an example, not just for millions of people here, but for folks throughout the nation. We are better than hateful rhetoric. We are better than the politics of hate and division. We are better together. And the most important thing is that we love and value each and every one of our fellow North Carolinians equally. We will not and cannot ever let hate and division define us, unless, of course, you're unvaccinated. We are all North Carolinians and have always been better than that, except for those periods of time when we haven't, to our LGBTQ plus community. Know that you are loved, respected, and valued." All right. I just got to say, like, there's this part of me, and I know this is, like, part of me. This is my character flaw, if you will. But this thing, this constant need to puff up, I have never liked it. I don't participate in it. It makes me uncomfortable when people do it to me. I don't like it. I don't like the flattery. Never trust a flatterer. And so this whole thing, like, we want you to know that we see you and we love you and we respect you. Like, yeah, you're a human being. You're an individual. I would automatically assume that of everybody. And I guess that's part of my contrarian nature, which is, like, you're assuming that I don't. So you articulating this, like, everybody needs to hear it. Yeah, but I'm not just going to automatically say, like, every group of people, I love you. Because there are individuals in that group of people that I might not, right? God said to love thy neighbor, but didn't say we have to like them. So, you know, there are a lot of people that test me on a daily basis in this front. Alrighty, so the North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson appeared at Asbury Baptist Church in early June. A clip from part of his speech. Apparently he goes around and does several of these speeches at churches. And a clip of the video got circulated. I guess this was, Thursday afternoon, I want to say. I think I saw the video first, like Thursday evening. So the clip gets circulated, and then, of course, obviously, it gets coverage, because of course it would. And here is the clip that made the rounds. Well, hang on a second. Let me re-rack that. We got the audio up. We good to go. Here is the clip.
I'm saying this now, and I've been saying it, and I don't care who likes it. Those issues have no place in a school. There's no reason anybody anywhere in America should be telling any child about transgenderism, homosexuality, any of that filth. And yes, I called it filth. And if you don't like it that I called it filth, come see me and I'll explain it to you. It's time for us to stop letting these children be abused at these schools.
Okay, so that was the clip. Those issues have no place in the schools. That's what he said. And then he said that it's filth. And Democrats pounced, media seized on the comments, and they say, ah, he's calling these people, transgender people, homosexual people, he's calling them filth. Is that what he called them? Again, this is just the 30-second clip that Right Wing Watch, a leftist super PAC, this is just the clip that they pulled. I'll play it again.
I'm saying this now, and I've been saying it, and I don't care who likes it. Those issues have no place in a school. There's no reason anybody anywhere in America should be telling any child about transgenderism, homosexuality, any of that filth. And yes, I called it filth. And if you don't like it that I called it filth, come see me and I'll explain it to you. It's time for us to stop letting these children be abused at these schools.
Okay. Robinson then addressed this clip over the weekend on Spectrum News. Here's a soundbite from his interview that he did with Loretta Benigni.
It doesn't matter to me what the definition of hate speech is. I said what I said, and I believe what I said, and many of the people across the state feel the exact same way.
Okay. He also posted a video on Facebook, and it was a video message, just speaking, sitting down at a table, speaking right to a camera, and here's what he said.
For several days now, I have been viciously attacked because of a clip video where I talk about removing the sexualization of children from the classrooms in our public education system. Of course, the media and those on the left have tried to change the focus from education to the LGBTQ community, specifically that I hate them. Let me be clear. I will fight for and protect the rights of all citizens, including those in the LGBTQ community, to express themselves however they want. That is their right as Americans, and I don't think that government has any role in telling them otherwise. However, the idea that our children should be taught about concepts of transgenderism and be exposed to sexually explicit materials in the classroom is abhorrent. Earlier in the year, my office released a report about indoctrination in public schools. In it, there was reference to a book titled George that a parent found in their child's school. The book is recommended for elementary school students. The main character is a biological boy in elementary school who wants to remove his genitals so he can become a girl. This book is not the only example. In Lawn Boy, there is sexually explicit content, including an animal performing sexual favors on a human. Unfortunately, there's more. The images you are about to see are from a book that is currently in North Carolina schools. It's called Gender Queer. I want to warn you that the pictures you are about to see are explicit. I hate to put these in a video, but I feel it's necessary to show you exactly what I'm referring to. Now, as you look at these photos, I challenge you to describe them as anything other than filth. These materials do not belong in public schools. For those who are calling on me to resign, for those who are saying that I don't represent North Carolina values, let me ask you something. Does forcing these on children represent your values? Do you really believe that these images should be shown in the classroom? This whole thing has been an attempt to once again change the argument and silence voices on the right. Well, let me tell you plainly, right here and right now, I will not back down. I will not be silent, and I will not be bullied into submission. I will continue to fight for the rights of our children to receive an education that is free from sexual concepts that do not belong in the classroom. And I don't care who doesn't like it. If you are with me, share this video and sign the petition on our Facebook page. We cannot allow the left to bully us. And I need patriots that will join me in saying, enough is enough. Thank you, and may God bless you.
All right, so now you've heard his response. I actually watched the entire speech that he delivered at the church back in June. And there was a theme to the entire speech. This is one part of a much larger speech. It ran about 20, 25 minutes or so. And he talked about abortion. He talked about the Second Amendment. He talked about education. He talked about defunding the police. There were a bunch of these different issues, and he tacked them all together under a general theme that the church has to pick up the mantle and fight for Christian principles and protect freedom. This was a call to churches because, in his estimation, his argument is that churches have abandoned the field. They walked away in all these different areas, that Christians are not fighting. They're not standing up. They're not doing battle. They don't even show up to the fight. And that's what he was arguing for, was to say, we have to protect what the founders enshrined and what they created. As Christians, we need to do this. And in fact, throughout American history, it has been the churches and Christians in them that have been the best defenders, greatest defenders of those freedoms, of this system. Now, you can disagree with that, by the way, and I'm not here to litigate whether or not his argument was true or false in every respect. But that was the nature of the speech, which, by the way, is not really mentioned in any of the coverage. All the media reports I've seen, and maybe this is predominantly a factor of the fact that the story got covered mainly over the weekend, and generally speaking, and I don't mean this as an insult, but the weekend shift is not usually the 18, right? So, and you're usually struggling to get content. You're usually much shorter staffed in newsrooms on the weekend than you are in the weekdays. So like, there are a lot of reasons for this. And it's why, by the way, you want to get some bad news out there. You do the Friday dump. You do that on Friday, obviously. Why? Because your, quote, A-team reporters that usually cover this stuff, they're already gone. Right? They're gone. A lot of people actually in television land, they work like a Sunday through Thursday shift because, Friday nights, nobody's staying at home and watching the news at 11 o'clock on Friday night, but they are on Sunday night. And so they've aligned schedules for that. So there are a number of reasons for this, but over the weekend, you get this clip that comes out on Thursday afternoon, which is where you want to plant a story if you wanted to get as much momentum as possible, because you put it out on a Thursday and now you can get all of your A-team reporters to pick up the story, do something with it a little bit on the Friday. They're out the door, and then it's just weekend talk show fodder, right? At a national level, right? This is kind of the idea. But these local newsrooms, statewide newsrooms that are covering this, all the stories that I saw were simply the first draft of the stories. It was simply the first run past the story with Robinson. Here's his video, and oh my gosh, aren't you outraged? Look at what he's calling these people. And when you listen to the whole speech, is that really what he's calling people, or is he saying the issues that are being promoted in our government-run schools should not be promoted as they are? Is that really what he's saying? We'll get into more of this up next.